You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable. This episode of the Sportsman's Empire is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. Since 1952, Interstate Batteries has been evoking compassion and a trustworthy spirit into the surrounding communities. Interstate Batteries is a mission-driven company fueled by purpose and guided by their values. If you need help locating a specific battery, stop into your local Interstate Batteries retail store and speak with a battery specialist. They even offer cell phone repairs. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.
Two Good & Co. coffee creamers are made with farm-fresh cream, real milk, and contain 3 grams of sugar per serving. That's 40% less than the 5 grams per serving in leading traditional coffee creamers for a rich, delicious experience. Whether you enjoy your coffee hot, cold, bold, or frothy, Two Good coffee creamers make every sip a good one. Two Good coffee creamers, real goodness in every sip. Find them at your local Kroger in the creamer aisle.
This episode is brought to you by Peloton. Break through the busiest time of year with the brand new Peloton Cross Training Tread Plus. Powered by Peloton IQ. With real-time guidance and endless ways to move, you can personalize your workouts and train with confidence, helping you reach your goals in less time. Let yourself run, lift, sculpt, push, and go. Explore the new Peloton Cross Training Tread Plus at onepeloton.com.
President's Day savings are happening now at the Home Depot with up to 40% off select appliances. Looking to upgrade your fridge? Check out LG's newest model, serving up ice in all kinds of styles. Cube, crushed, craft ice, and now new mini craft ice straight from the dispenser. From cold brew to fizzy favorites, these refrigerators will have you entertaining like a pro. Shop President's Day savings and get up to 40% off, plus free delivery on select appliances like LG at the Home Depot. Free delivery on appliance purchases of $1,498 or more. Offer valid February 5th through the 25th, U.S. only. See store online for details.
His name is Clint Campbell, ladies and gentlemen, and he is the host of the Truth From The Stand podcast. Clint, welcome back to the Nine Finger Chronicles podcast, my friend.
Thanks, buddy. I appreciate you having me on, man. How are things in Iowa? You guys enjoying some nice, that nice kind of humid heat that you get this time of year, dude?
Dude, it's it's hot as shit right now.
Yeah.
It's 80 degrees and it's 8:30 in the morning right now. So
yeah.
My office, I got to try to get these done at some point so I can turn my window air conditioning on, because by the end of this podcast, I'm going to be dripping down the inside of my shirt.
You're going to have a sweet V sweat stain.
Yep. And it's going to be going right between my pecs down into my belly button. My armpits are going to. So this is not a 1990s hypercolor shirt, but it will change colors at some point. It will change colors. So
yeah. Yeah. I know it's hot when my wife is, she works for the school, so she's off all summer. Right. And I know it's hot whenever she's up out of bed during the summer before I am for work, because she wants to get a run in before the heat hits. Right. So she got up this morning at 6:30 and went for a run. I woke up and looked at my phone. I'm like, what freaking time is it? And I was like, I don't know what she does. Our daughter's first day of work was today. She's a lifeguard. So I was like, well, maybe she got up early to make sure our daughter got up for her first day of work, just to make sure she wasn't late. And I come out and I'm like, what are you doing? She's downstairs in a full flop sweat in the basement. I'm like, what is going on? Right. She's like, oh, I got up and went for a run before it got hot. And I'm like, well, it doesn't look like you beat it.
Yeah. Yeah. So, it's nasty. And so all three of my kids are at camp this week. And so I had planned to go out and do all this work. I have this checkbox of buy batteries, put out trail cameras, freshen mineral scrapes, adjust some tree stands. But now it's 100% chance rain the next 2 days, starting tonight. And so it's just, again, I feel like I just got fucked by Mother Nature. And I'm sitting here going, God, every single year, it's the same thing. I have this ideal plan of, hey, I'm going to get it out. I'm going to get it. I have it organized. Weather screws me, or something happens to where a schedule changes.
Yeah.
And then here it is now, like mid to late September, and I'm out there in the middle of my sweet spots adjusting tree stands, or trimming a possible tree for a saddle platform, or putting batteries in the trail cameras and all this shit, and I'm just like, I'm always way behind, and it always pisses me off.
Yeah, man, I've been in the same boat the past couple of years, and it used to really bother me. I was actually like kind of get like not just mad about it, but like it would eat up my thoughts where I'd be like, oh man, I'm so far behind. I didn't get this done. This year is a great example where I chased that one deer all fall last year. And through doing that, there were some adjacent areas where I was like, man, I don't really know much about this spot here. I don't know much about this spot. So my goal was really to kind of go in and expand my footprint of kind of intimate knowledge, right? Because I have an area that I've scouted for the past couple years and run trail cameras where I found that deer, and that's primarily where I hunted him. And when I say, you know, this is like big woods, so it's like tens of thousands of acres, but I primarily focused on probably like, say, like an 800 acre piece where I found this deer, and I continually find like really good bucks. Mm-hmm. And so I wanted to kind of expand to the fringes, like just off those things, right? Off that particular area to kind of know a little bit more about what's, I mean, I know what's around there because I've walked through it, but I've not spent a ton of time in it. And that was kind of my goal this year. And it was the same thing where the winter, that area is under snow for a longer period of time because it's in the mountains. So it usually doesn't thaw enough to make it worth your while until like April, like to where you can kind of really get out. And then it's like, once that hits, it's like, you know, there's the weather, which it seemed like every time I had free time, it would just be pissing rain, right? Or, you know, my daughter's at that age now where she's got like proms and like a social calendar and stuff like that, right? Because she's a junior going into her senior year of high school. So it's like every time that there was a good weather day and I was free, there was like a family event that was going on. And so it was like, I could just never time it up, right? To where it's like, I could go get the work done that I wanted to get done. But I think in part, it kind of helps me a little bit in a very weird way to where when I do get time, I'm way more focused. I actually get really good work done.
Yeah.
And I'm probably better off that way because I don't waste time, I guess is one way to say it. And then too, it's like, I kind of started just enjoying like the fact that like, I'm not going to know everything and it's forcing me like where I do a lot more scouting in season, you know, than I do in postseason really anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm that same way. It's almost like hunting season. I know, because in order to kill a deer, I have to do it within the hunting season. Mm-hmm. Right. And so now I'm going, this hot weather, you know, the rain's coming. I'm not going to go out in it and do it.
Yeah. You
know? Like I can remember when I was younger, I was like, no matter what, rain or shine, I'm hanging trees and thunderstorms and shit like that. The one year I went scouting and lightning struck within 100 yards of me. And so I ended up crossing a river to walk on through another guy's property. Right. There was trail cameras on the property. And I walked in front of his trail cameras. I just went straight line back to where I was parked. And my first stop was I knocked on this dude's door and I said, hey, man, I am sorry, but I got caught in this storm. I walked through your property. I will be on your trail cameras. And he was real cool about it. Like, he's like, do you need a ride back, you know, to your truck? And I'm like, no, I'm soaking wet already. I'm just going to walk. Right.
Right.
And so like lightning is striking all around me. Long story short, I just don't do that shit anymore.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I kind of just save it for whenever I get it. And if you're asking me these days to choose between like going to one of my daughter's wrestling practices or going to a baseball game, I'm picking kids stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, so, I'm the same way, man. It's you know, I think some of it, a little bit, is like your priority shift, of course, right? I think part of it too is that you realize that, you know, there's like with anything, like, so for example, a great example of this is when you're charging your phone, right? Mm-hmm. And it's on zero battery, right? That first like 50, 60, 70% of the charge happens really, really quick, right? It's that last 30% of the charge or 20% of the charge that takes a long time because, you know, as it's charging, layman's way of saying it, the energy is trying to go around and find parking spots. There's not as many parking spots available anymore for them to park the energy, right?
Yeah.
And so you start to get like diminishing returns a little bit, right? Or where like the juice, there isn't as much juice in the squeeze at the end, so to speak, right? And I kind of started feeling like that a little bit with, you know, scouting. I think as much time as you can spend in the woods is always beneficial. Mm-hmm. But I think, you know, finding the balance between spending enough time out there, making sure you're taking care of your priorities at home and stuff like that. And I think as you continue to do this, you just feel like you, I don't need, I, I think it goes almost with anything. Like, I don't need to spend as much time doing it as I once did, like from a scouting standpoint. I think for a couple of reasons. I think as you go, like, you get more experience, and so you read things a lot more quickly and a lot more accurately. But I also think that over time, like, just out of necessity, I started kind of just adapting, like, my hunting style. Like, I've always scouted during the season, like, an okay amount. But the past couple seasons, it's like I've actually scouted more than I've hunted in season. Yeah. And it I don't know, maybe I'm just thick-headed, because, like, you know that to kind of be true as far as, like, finding success in season. And it's just taken me years to kind of get to the point to where it's like I'm scouting probably as much as I should have been 10 years ago in season, right? And it's just been more so forced on me because of, like, you know, family obligations and, like, work obligations and just time constraints and stuff like that. So, long way of saying, like, I feel like I don't need to postseason scout as much as I have in the past, because I'm scouting all fall long, especially this year, because I was, you know, hunted whatever it was, 30 couple days. There's not going to be anything on the ground that I haven't seen in that area.
Right.
So I don't really need to go back to the areas that I've hunted. I really just need to focus on areas that I've not been in. You know what I mean? Because I already know where, I could tell you where every scrape's at, I could tell you where every rub's at, and that general 800-ish acres, right?
Right.
So it's just the stuff that's kind of beyond that was what I was wanting to explore. And I got to explore a little bit of that for a couple of days there, whatever it was, I think in, like, May.
Yeah.
What's crazy is, I don't know if you've found this out, where I do my e-scouting. I tell myself, okay, well, look at this terrain feature here. I've hunted enough years and I've hunted enough varieties of like timber or ag or terrain features. That's the word, terrain features, to where I can look at topo maps and I go, okay, I know what the deer are going to do on this specific type of topography because I've hunted it somewhere else. You know what I mean? Like, so basically things tend to repeat. And so for me, when I go out, you know, like I go out and I do a run and gun on a place that maybe I've never been before, or a place where I've hunted years ago, I go back and I go, well, if they're doing this over here, they should be doing the same thing over there.
Right.
And it's like, deer aren't going to be skylining themselves. Deer aren't going to be walking in the very bottoms. They're also not going to be walking at the crest of everything. So, I bet you there's a trail here. I bet you there's a trail here. And I bet you there's one on the bottom that crosses both of those. And then you get out there and it's there. Everything that you thought was there was there. And so, just experience, man, and knowing and being observant on these terrain features just lets you know what is going to happen everywhere else.
Yeah. It's a, I like to kind of say that I'll go places where I get almost like deja vu, where I feel like I've been there before.
Mm-hmm.
Right. You know, I think whenever I really started recognizing it more and more is when I started traveling more and more to hunt, and I started going just to different states where it's like, I wasn't going to have the ability to scout it in the postseason. You know, I don't have enough vacation time to run out like a week early or whatever. So if I was going there for a week, it was going to be there to scout and hunt it at the same time. And I would start to walk into these areas. I guess the first place that I really, really noticed it was I was hunting this river bottom in Missouri. And it was pretty flat, like in that area. And just the way it laid out reminded me of this kind of like what I refer to as like mountaintop swamps in Pennsylvania, because you get to certain areas where it's like you're already on top of the mountain. So it's like, it seems weird, but there's a swamp up there because it's just all flat, right? And low-lying areas holding water and stuff. And it laid out very similarly to how like one of those mountaintop swamps laid out that I've hunted in the past. And so as soon as I walked in there, I was like, and like where the scrapes were at, like it all just felt like I'd been there before.
Right.
You know, and it didn't dawn on me until like after the hunt, I started thinking about it. And I was like, oh, well, it's like because there's this little like, and it's not like a huge funnel, but like, you know, when you're hunting, there's low lying kind of swampy areas, like you're not going to have
this time of year, you're going to find me jigging for crappies off my father-in-law's boat, celebrating a successful turkey hunt, or just sitting on the back deck watching time go by with a quality cigar from Thompson Cigar. Thompson Cigar has been around since 1915, offering the widest array of cigars and cigar accessories at very affordable prices. Thompson Cigar offers your favorite brands like Swisher Sweets, Cohiba, Backwoods, and Monte Cristo shipped fresh directly to your door.
Also, be sure to check out their 5-pack Fever deals and join their value club for big savings. Visit thompsoncigar.com and enter the discount code SE at checkout for 20% off of all orders over $75. Thompson Cigar, quality cigars at affordable prices. Bow hunters are some of the hardest working hunters there are. Most of us work hard all year long just to get a couple weekends or burn our vacation time to sit in a tree. And just like the American blue-collar worker, we're trying to balance work, family, faith, and a little time for ourselves in the great outdoors. Now let me introduce you to Trollco Clothing, a brand built by blue-collar workers for blue-collar workers. Workwear, comfortable tees, hoodies and hats for both men and women, Trollco represents the hardworking American. So whether you're operating heavy equipment, wrenching on engines, or in a factory living that shift life, Trollco has your back, literally. Head to trollco.com/hunting. That's trollco.com/hunting and enter the discount code Empire25 for 25% off of your first order. Trollco, for the hardworking American.
Big, obvious funnel. It's probably going to be some type of, you know, vegetation or habitat or soft edge. It's going to kind of move deer around and stuff like that. Yeah. And I was kind of noticing that in this river bottom. And it wasn't until after the hunt that I realized, I was like, oh man, this is why. It's because this piece of, you know, thick cover was right here, and it kind of created this little pinch here, and that's why the scrapes were here. And so it all kind of laid out, you know, how, and in a scenario that I was familiar with, and it was just basically going off of memory. And I remember I jumped in there with my buddy Zach. He was actually filming me on that trip, and we were there maybe 10 minutes and had 3 really good bucks run by us. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. So it was one of those things where it's like, where are we going to set up? And we actually set up on the ground in that hunt because I'm allergic to poison ivy pretty badly. And same. Everything in that bottom was covered in poison, like every tree. So I was like, there's no way we can climb a tree, or I'm going to be at the hospital, like at the ER tonight. Right. So we just did a ground setup, you know, and it ended up working out. I mean, we didn't end up killing a deer, but we ended up seeing, you know, 3 really good bucks, and then kind of set the stage for, you know, a good week of hunting.
Yeah. Yeah. That terrain thing, it was like, and it, dude, it took me a lot of years to be able to walk in and like, just go, okay, this is where I need to be. Mm-hmm. This is where I need to be. And then, like, as far as you said, a sign, it's like, all right, I'm going to show you a map. Where do you think sign is going to be on this map? And you guess, like, your best guess, but then you go out there and sure enough, it's right here. It's right where you thought it would be.
Yep.
So.
Yeah. Exactly. All right.
I want to change topics here real quick.
Yeah.
Dude, like.
Where's your playlist taking you? Down the highway? To the mountains? Or just into daydream mode while you're stuck in traffic? With over 4,000 hotels worldwide, Best Western is there to help you make the most of your getaway. Wherever that is. Because the only thing better than a great playlist is a great trip. Life's the trip. Make the most of it at Best Western. Book direct and save at bestwestern.com.
This public land shit is going crazy right now, right? So, like, here's the very high level. It was, you know, it got taken out of the bill. First off, and I've said this 100 times before, I don't think it should be legal to kick something out of a bill and then change the bill after it passes or does not pass and then take it to the next level of, it's like, okay, here's this bill. Now we're going to take it to the next level. You said you didn't want it in there. We took it out. Yay. And now it's back in for the Senate. Right. And it's like, how is this possible? How is this legal? Right.
It didn't pass the smell test in the first place with the thing in it. So why would you put it in out? Yeah,
exactly. Okay. And so, like, now we got this Senator Mike Lee. Like, he's the guy who's all about selling the public land. His Instagram page is like all, I don't know. Have you visited his Instagram page?
No, I haven't. I faintly know. I mean, I know what's going on with, like, the public land stuff, but I try to, know as much as I need to and no more than that.
yeah. And so, long story short, this Mike Lee guy is like he has recently made a post on
Twitter or what X, basically saying, "Hey, listen, I am no like Hunter Nation."
Oh, I did see this one. Yeah.
Yeah. Hunter Nation, you know, you have listened and there will be changes made very soon, but that's the only place that he said it. He hasn't said it anywhere else. And so like, I don't know if this guy's going to be a snake and just like, he's just deflecting so that maybe some of the pressure goes away from him.
Yeah.
But you go to his Instagram page and it is nothing. I mean, it is literally, I can't find one person who supports what he's doing.
Right.
Of course, if you support things, you typically don't like do as much commenting and like supporting, but like there is not one post out of thousands and thousands and thousands of comments about him. Do not sell our public land. We do not want this. I live in Utah. No, like a whole bunch of people. And then, so you go in, you see, are these people hunters? And some of them are hunters, but some of them are like hippies too. Okay. So it's like, nobody wants this. And so who is this guy working for? Right. And so,
well, that's just it. Like he's not working for normal regular people, you know, that's the net. I mean, in theory he should be because of, you know, who elected him. Right. But that's not always the case. And anybody who knows anything knows that's true with pretty much any politician. Right. It's like they get in. I mean, you've seen people get in with the best intentions and they get in and they get, you know, flipped, so to speak. Right. Like, I can't imagine like a green person going in, you know, I would like to think whenever someone is starting out, like as a congressman or woman or senator or whatever the case is, that they're going in with, you know, good intentions of, you know, I think I can make a difference or I want to represent these people or whatever the case is. Right. Now that's not true across the board. I don't want anyone to think that I'm naive thinking that everyone walks into it with, you know, an altruistic, you know, approach to things, right? Certainly there's people that think that, hey, this is good for my career. This is going to help me advance to like whatever thing it is that I want to do next or make the connections I want to make or whatever the case is, right? But I think at some point, especially if it's maybe your first run at office or whatever the case is, like, I think you probably go in thinking that, you know, I want to represent these people. But then by the time you get there, it's like anything else. You know, there's a game to be played, like when you get in there and it's like either you play the game or you don't, or you're not part of the game anymore. Right. And I think that that's what happens to a lot of them, you know. And then I think at some point, I think they get so bought and they've shifted their position on things so many times that I don't even think they remember what their position originally was. Right. And then it's just from that point forward, it's just like, you know, when you get caught in lies and you just lie to kind of get out of the next lie, you know, right? It's like at some point, you don't even know what you're talking about anymore. You're just saying whatever the thing is that someone's giving you to say, right? Or you're supporting the thing that whatever, you know, the people who have interest in supporting you want you to support, right? So, yeah, it's a, I pay attention to that stuff as much as, I don't want to say as much as I can, but as much as I can tolerate, I guess is the way I'll put it. And I was, you know, happy, of course, to see that, you know, hunters and people who enjoy the outdoors are making noise about it. Because I don't think that selling off our public lands is the solution to solving any of our current problems, I guess is like the overarching way that I would say it.
Right. What's crazy about this whole thing was from a political standpoint, right? We have, I truly feel that a person gets into politics originally to make the world a better place, to make the country, like that's the optimistic part of me. But then they get in there and now, like you said, they have to play the game. And in order to play the game, you need money and you need backers and you need support and you need advertising and you need all these things, especially if you, the higher up you go and everything. And it's like, this is crazy because you truly stand for something at some point, but imagine an amount of money that is so great and you've never seen it before that someone is offering you to make you actually go, I'm a good person, I am gonna be rich, like you know what I mean, like because there is a dollar amount out there for just about everything if you are a weak willpowered person, like if you have no conviction about certain things, right, there's going to be a price for those types of people. You have to be able to turn money down or money's not important to you. And some of the numbers that people throw around, especially like Bill Gates and BlackRock and all of these people who are supporting Mike Lee that you kind of find out about, like these are the wealthiest people in the world throwing money at you. And it's pretty much, we'll do whatever we need to do in order to get the job done here. And so holy shit.
It's wild. Like there was a period in my life. I was living in Florida at the time and I'd finished school and I was trying to figure out what I was, you know, what my next move was and stuff like that. If we were coming back to Pennsylvania, what my career path was going to be is what I was trying to really figure out. Mm-hmm. And, I had interest for a while of working in politics. I had some people that I had met while I was in Orlando. I happened to actually work at this bar that was actually a place that held a lot of political events and stuff like that. It was kind of like a weird artsy kind of dive. Like there was everyone from like politicians to local biker gang members hung out there and artists, like everyone in between. So it was like a really weird mix of people. And so it's like I got to know some of like the local politicians and stuff like that, because they would come in and have a drink after work or whatever the case was. And I had a lot of friends who were attorneys too. And so I started kind of tinkering with the idea of going to law school because I had interest in maybe running for some type of office someday, right? And Senate was really kind of what my interest was. And hence why I was considering going to law school. And I decided, I was like, you know what? I've got some connections. It was like, why don't I just go to Tallahassee and spend like a couple of days there with some of the connections I have, see if I can meet with some senators, maybe go to some committee hearings and committee meetings and stuff like that, and just see what their day looks like and like how they operate, and then sit down with like one of them at some point and just see if they'll give me like a half hour or an hour of their time to talk, right? And it ended up working out where I ended up going up for like 2 days. I sat in a bunch of committee meetings. I don't even remember what the committee meetings were at this point now. And then I actually sat with one of the senators for like an hour and just talked about his job, you know, running for office, what his day to day kind of looks like, what he feels like his, you know, most important duties are in his role, et cetera, et cetera. And it was kind of like a very weird 2 days where I was like, I felt like a complete outsider, number one. Right. And then two, it's like you were in these committee meetings and like the committee meetings were very proper, like as you would expect. And, you know, they're motioning this, that, the other. And like the thing that blew my mind was that people that were supposed to be there to vote on stuff just wouldn't show up. Like they just weren't there. And I'm like, how is this person just not there? It's like their job to be there to represent like their constituents. Right. But they're just not showing up. Mm-hmm. And some of that was planned because they didn't want to oppose and they didn't want to support. So they just abstained and just didn't show up. Right. But the thing that really turned me off and what made me decide not to take that route was that every time I'd be walking in the halls, you would see these people talking to each other in these committee meetings, and they were very, you know, polite, professional, you know, and just seemed like good people. The hallway conversations that I would overhear, because no one thought I was listening, because I would walk around with my headphones in or some earbuds in, right? And so everyone just thought I had, you know, headphones on and was listening to music, but I wouldn't have anything on. I was doing it so I could just walk around and listen to what people were talking about. And dude, the things that they would say about each other and about a bill that was being passed or being discussed or a group of people was just disgusting. And it was in that moment where I was like, I can't do this, man. I was like, all these people are just liars. I was like, they will lie to your face and then walk out in the hallway and say the exact opposite thing about you or somebody else, you know, 30 feet away. And that was when I was like, yeah, this isn't for me. I was like, I think I'm too honest and forthright. I was like, to play this game. I was like, I would never make it.
Right. Right. Yeah. Crazy. So like, have you ever seen the show House of Cards?
Bits and pieces of it. My wife really liked that show. I just, for whatever reason, I didn't watch a whole lot of it,
I feel like that would be the most realistic version of just a bunch of scumbags and degenerates and drug abusers at just a high level of society.
And that was the weird, part. Cause I was like, you know, in my mind, I was driving home from Tallahassee thinking about the experience that I had. And my first instinct was to think all these people are a piece of shit, right? That was my first instinct, right? But then as I was driving, I kind of was thinking about it, and it came to my mind where I thought they didn't start like this. You know, I was like, they probably all evolved into that out of a survival mechanism, like in order to stay.
Because they want to stay in their seat.
Yeah. You want to stay there or you want to advance. You know what I mean? It's like, you know, you're a state senator now, like within the state of Florida or whatever. And maybe now you want to go to the Senate, like be in the Senate in D.C., right? Like whatever it is, like you got to play the game. Like you don't just typically show up there, right? You got to have backing, you know, and support and so on and so forth.
Yep. Absolutely. Absolutely. All right. The other thing about like public land, there's a lot of people, right? Like, for example, Meat Eater. Meat Eater has been a big supporter in this, very vocal in this, huge following, right? Advocates for public land, right? And along with all of the constituents, like the backcountry hunters and anglers. Right. Huge. Howl for Wildlife. You know, Randy Newberg, other Western guys. But, and maybe it's usually if you're supporting something, you let it be known. There's a group of hunters out there who we all know and love, who have been in the industry for a very long time. Right. Who aren't saying a peep about this.
Right.
Why do you think that, and this is some of the old guard from, you know, decades of being in the hunting space.
Right.
Why are these people not talking about it? Best guess.
We're leaving today and entering a world of Mickey Mouse waving, princess meeting and greeting, lightsaber clashing, the Twilight Zone Tower of Terror dropping, Banshee flying, Space Mountain launching, galaxy rewinding, what is the whole network galaxy rewinding, fireworks igniting, world of other worlds. For whatever you love, infinite worlds await at the most magical place on Earth, Walt Disney World Resort.
Sierra has all the best active and outdoor brands you need, from athletic stuff, like a full-court pickup game, swish, to athletic-ish stuff, like a half-mile stroll. Get those steps in! And for morning hikes up the mountain trail, good pace, to nighttime ghost stories from the camping chair. What a twist! Whatever level of active, Sierra loves it all. Head to Sierra or Sierra.com for the brands you want at the prices that let you do it all. From athletic to athletic-ish, Sierra's got it.
My first, I would, this is what I think is probably the case. I think just in general with the climate of things and how, the social space kind of acts or behaves or whatever the case is, for someone who has, you know, whomever this person is, right? Like they've amassed like some level of like notoriety, or I don't want to go
business, their business is at a certain
business, right? Yeah. A certain lifestyle that they've been able to build, you know, off of, you know, being in the hunting space or whatever the case is. If I were to put myself in their shoes and think about why they wouldn't do it, it's because the potential, there's no upside for that person to get in the fray of a political debate, especially if it ends up online somewhere. Right.
Yeah.
Like there's only downside for them, right? To visibly kind of publicly support something, right? Like you may abandon a sponsor or something like that, right? And that would probably be like a low man on totem pole case. But you might also kind of divulge your own kind of political leanings, which may alienate certain parts of like your following or whatever the case is. Right. And so I think the sad thing is that, you know, more than anything, whether someone is or isn't vocal about it, is that I think a lot of reasons people aren't is because of the potential backlash, because we can't have any real civil dialogue about ideas, right? Everything becomes clickbait, right? Everyone's looking for like the next headline. Everyone's looking for like the next thing to shit on someone for, because shitting on this person is going to get me noticed or whatever the case is. And so I think whenever you get to people who have something to really lose, like, and, or they could help your cause in a significant way, it's a lot harder to get them to do what you need them to do, because they just don't have a lot of upside to it. Like, there's only downside for them, right?
Right.
The minimal downside of not supporting it is that someone says, you didn't support public lands when we needed you. That doesn't have a lot of teeth. That probably goes away in 2 weeks, right?
Right.
But you say the wrong thing or don't align with the masses in exactly the way they want you to, and they will tear you down, right? And that stays around a lot longer, right?
Yeah.
And so, you know, I think it's just like,
imagine your life like that, though. Imagine being passionate about a certain thing, really wanting to, maybe they want to say it, but maybe they've been advised where it's just like not a good idea, because your whole business model will then potentially be collapsed. Like, you're a kind of a puppet at that point. Like,
is, are they doing anything in the back channels that aren't, people don't see? You know what I mean? That's the other thing that you have to wonder too, right? Because if they, you know, whomever these people are, it's like, if they have any type of influence or connections or whatever, are they working those behind the scenes and they just aren't publicly saying anything?
You know, but what is the point of not saying anything or saying something if you don't have the sway of the masses that you've gathered from a following standpoint to really benefit that topic, right? So like, let's say I had 1 million followers, right? Let's say I had 1 million followers. Someone is going to want to come to me and say, hey, Dan, we know you're a hardcore hunter. How would you feel about talking about this on your social channels so that we can generate, you know, a buzz to save public lands or something like that? And I go, I'm not really interested in doing that because I don't want to offend anybody who is, who feels like potential public lands should be sold. Right.
Right.
And so like, I feel like if you're not doing that, at some point you've really just shown your cards and you're only in it for the money, and you're in it to exploit the natural resource, and you're in it to continue to do what you've done for all these years. And now when it's time to stand up for hunters and the natural resource, because I'm guessing whoever that is, whoever that person is, a big chunk of their followers or supporters hunt on public land. Right. And yes, right now this is a West Coast thing, a Western part of the United States thing. But if that passes, it's coming to the East Coast too.
Oh yeah.
Like in a heartbeat. So all of those, all that public land that you and your crew, hunt out in, Pennsylvania, that's that's going to be up for sale. You know, down in the Southeast, they have the big, big forests down there. Bye-bye. Like that foot gets in the door. Everybody's being affected by it. And then it's the public, or it's a private land game. It's all this. So I just get really frustrated at certain things. The same with conservation. Like, you don't really hear them stand up for any take on conservation unless it's like a paid spot. It really frustrates me, man. And I don't know why.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's all valid points, man. You know, because I mean, it's operating under the thinking that, you know, those who are given great, you know, opportunities also bear the brunt of great responsibilities, right? That's kind of like the net, right? When you have more is expected of you, right? And I think that it's fair, you know, because if they're looking out for their own self-interest, you know, and kind of throwing everyone else under the bus, so to speak, you know, at some point, I think the chickens come home to roost. It's not a good look, you know? And I don't know why they wouldn't, you know, whomever these people are, why they wouldn't come out and support. And you're right, you know, whatever's happening west eventually will trickle its way to the east. You know, anyone who doesn't think that that's the case, like, that, you know, it's some, you know, being a little naive, in that regard. You know, and then to your point, it becomes a private land game, right? It's like right now, when you think about hunters, if we talk about hunter recruitment, just for example, right? You know, people, like when I was growing up, you know, back in my day,
right.
You know, there was plenty of private land opportunities, right? Like it wasn't crazy. You know, my family had a back 40. My grandfather had a farm. Like I grew up in a rural area. So pretty much everybody had farms or their family had farms, right? So everyone had places to hunt and stuff like that, right? Mm-hmm. You know, and it didn't seem, you know, for me growing up, because all of our family had property, because it was either they owned a farm or they owned family property adjacent to said mm-hmm. farms, right? Mm-hmm. So when I was growing up, it just seemed natural that like, well, yeah, one day I'll probably have a plot of land, you know what I mean? Because that's just like how it was in that area, which was, you know, pretty, you know, I won't say it was off the mark necessarily. But now when you think about the opportunity to own land for people who are, you know, younger, it's just not a real feasible opportunity, right?
Yeah.
Owning a home or, you know, nevertheless, like a chunk of land actually enough to be able to hunt, right? So anyone who's into hunting, you know, let's say even just like 10 years ago, primarily are probably going to be doing it on public land, because they're not going to own a back 40 somewhere, because it's just cost prohibitive to do that, right?
Yep.
I mean, eventually maybe you'll have it, but like whenever you're starting out, it's not going to be a realistic opportunity. So the public lands are predominantly where not just current hunters, but future hunters, the lion's share of them are going to be hunting. You know what I mean? And so you start thinking about not just opportunity for those new people, but it's like, but how do you keep quality of hunting as good as it can be to keep people engaged? Because you start selling off lands, you put hunters in, you know, smaller and smaller chunks, the hunting becomes, you know, more and more polluted, if you will, right? With more and more pressure, right? Which diminishes the experience potentially, right? I'm not saying it does 100% or doesn't, right? I'm just saying it's plausible, right? Okay. And then that new person who is just starting is battling people versus trying to find deer. And is that really what they want to do with their free time, right? Does that person stick around, right? I mean, that's the unintended consequence, right? Now, the people who are trying to sell off public land aren't thinking about that. They don't give two flying shits about that. That's what we care about, right?
Yeah.
Is that, right? And which is why it's important that, you know, we make noise and call senators and do the things that we need to do to make sure that they know that we're not stoked with the idea of selling lands. Not just that, but it's, I think in some ways, if someone would say, hey, these are the significant problems we could solve by selling a portion of lands, like not the amount. And I'm just playing devil's advocate here, right? It's not something I believe, right? But if someone could say, we're going to sell X amount, whatever that would be, and this is what we're going to get from it, and this is what we're going to do with it, right? And that could be tracked and known. And it's like, yep, we're going to solve homelessness in the U.S., like just making something up, right?
Right.
It's like most people would be like, hey, you know what? If we got to give up a little to make sure people have good lives, like, you know, I would say there's a lot of people that would probably be okay with that, right? Because it's like, hey, it's helping somebody out, right? And in the end, probably helps out everybody, right? But it's not how the government works. They don't tell you what they're doing. You don't know where any of it goes. And they typically don't do anything efficiently with it. So it's just wasted, right? And so when you throw that on top of it, it's not just, for me at least, it's not just, hey, I want to retain the public lands because I want wild places to thrive and I want people to have access to them. Of course, that's the case. But the second point for me is that, so say you do that, where's the money going and what are you going to do with it? And I do not believe you for a second that anyone who actually needs it should get it or that it'll go to solving something that's significant. Mm-hmm. So the answer is hell no.
Right. Exactly. And so like, it just, I don't know. I get extremely frustrated with the whole process. And if anything, it's really woken me up about like who actually cares about certain things on a political level and an actual in the hunting space, in the hunting industry level too. There are some brands that are speaking up and talking about it, but then there's a lot of other brands that just aren't. Mm-hmm. Nobody's talking about it. And so they don't care. Like that tells me they don't care. And I'll tell you this right now, if public land goes away, that means less hunters. And then that means less hunters that are going to spend money on all products. And then the industry shrinks even more than it already is. And it's getting cut somewhere, right? It's going to go somewhere and it's a net loss for everybody from the industry space. And that means, you know, all those people are going to leave. They're not going to hunt. Maybe they still consume some hunting content, but if you don't hunt, you're probably not going to consume a ton of hunting content.
Right. Yeah.
That's just my guess. Well, yeah. So then those people's suffer. I suffer. Everybody suffers. And so I don't know, man. I feel like a lot of decisions are being made for the wrong reasons. Mm-hmm. And to be quiet at a time like this, especially when there is a group of people out there who want to sell public lands, like, and then like, let's just imagine for a second, this bill goes through and that $300 million or whatever public land, this is hypothetical, goes away overnight. Uh-huh. Dude, my chances of going and trying to kill an elk at some point in my life are go away. Antelope, go away. More mule deer hunts goes away, dude.
Yeah.
And so yeah, the dream is gone.
Yeah. I mean, the idea, it's getting harder and harder to go hunt outside of your home state, in general, especially when you start talking about heading west for big game, and I think a lot of times the complacency, on the East Coast to a degree is because, deer hunting by and large for a lot of people is, what they're going to do, right? They may or may not go west. It might be a pipe dream for a lot of people to begin with on the East, right? And they may have thought just in general that their chances of going west were slim to begin with anyway. But what they think is like deer hunting is going to be around and be the same way it's always been. And that's just not the case, right? It's like, that is like this things that are happening. Like you were saying before, it's like what happens in the West starts to creep East. It's not just with selling public lands. It's also with regulations. Mm-hmm. Right. And so, the more you see, experiencing tag restrictions and things like that, out West, those things start to creep East as well. And you start to see more and more states start to implement,
draws
and things like that. And
lotteries. Yep.
Right. And stuff like that. Right. Where you start to, for a lot of people in Pennsylvania, I'll just say, for example, if they want to go to a good buck state, they often go to Ohio, right? It's right across the border. It's not a terribly far drive. Even, people in New York, it's the gateway to the Midwest, right? It's like the first big buck state. What happens if all of a sudden, they sell off some public lands in, Ohio somewhere, and now all of a sudden they're like, we're going to go to a lottery system or a point system or whatever system they decide to go to, because it's like, we just can't support the same number of hunters. And we need the same dollars to manage the resource, or maybe even more, because now we're managing them on a much kind of tighter area, if you mm-hmm. will. Right. So it's like it eventually makes its way this way. I know some of the states that I hunt whitetails in that are some form of draw or points or whatever is harder now than it was when I started getting those tags. Right. Like I don't get them as frequently as I used to. Right. Some of the out of state tags, right. So it's just a matter of time. So if people think that it's not going to land on their front door, it's like, it might not be on your front door now, but it's in the car on its way.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. It's just, it's crazy. I feel like the Spider-Man quote that you mentioned, with great power comes great responsibility, and there's people just dropping the ball left and right on this topic, and just not just the public land issue, but the conservation issue. Like, it's just, we're going to stay in our lane because we live right here in this lane. But if we go outside of it, we may have had trouble in the past, but we don't want trouble. So we're going to stay right here. We're going to ignore everything. And we're just going to put out us shooting big bucks and putting out, money shot horn porn, basically. And we're going to stay here because that's what's got us here. And that's what's going to keep us here. And they don't give a shit about anything else. It's money, just like these politicians. And long story short, I kind of have a problem with that.
Yeah.
I kind of have a problem with that.
For sure, man. I mean,
at some point you have to stand up for something.
Yeah.
You got to stand up for something.
The funny, for lack of a better way to say it, is that, when all this stuff kind of started, I actually personally didn't even think about hunting first. What I thought about was, for example, you know, because I try to, when things like this come up, I try to somewhat remove myself from it and the things that I specifically like, because they're very, right. They're very specific, right? And you can be very selfish about it, right? So I started thinking about, what do other people outside of me, like, or people like me, have to lose, right? Like, what are those things? And my wife and I celebrated our 22nd anniversary this year. And for that, we went to Red Rocks, Morrison, Colorado, to go to Red Rocks to watch Jason Isbell in concert at Red Rocks, right? And that whole place is surrounded by, I don't remember if it's a national park or state park, but it's all surrounded by public lands. Like, you can go to the venue, walk it. The venue is part of the public land. You can walk inside the venue prior to the show, walk around, check it out. People go there and work out. There's all kinds of hiking trails all around it. I'm watching mule deer from the parking lot while I'm drinking beers, getting ready to go into the concert. You know what I mean? Like, I saw like 15 mule deer like on this embankment. And that was actually the first thing I thought about, because I was like, some people live in an area or live in a place that they don't ever get to experience, you know, things like that, except when they go do things like that. Mm-hmm. Right. And maybe they go take a hike that's around there. Maybe they don't hike a whole lot, but maybe they're inclined to that day because they're at that concert and they're going to just, and they're already there. Right. And they get to see things that they've not seen before. They get to see views that they've not seen before that make them see the world a little bit differently, or at least, you know, that landscape a little bit differently. And that's actually what I thought of, was that, you know, how do those people, you know, engage with the outdoors whenever they lose maybe opportunities like that?
Right.
Right. And that to me was, you know, to me was more impactful, because as a hunter, you know, I'll find a way, because I love it, right? I'll find a way to get outside. I'll find a way to find a place to hunt. I'll find a way, right? And most diehard guys will, right? But it's for those people who are on the fringe that, you know, maybe aren't as dedicated. And I don't want to say that in a way to diminish them necessarily, but just maybe they don't have as much time. Maybe it's not, you know, maybe they like golf as much as they like hunting, and so they're not as vested in hunting, or whatever the case is, right? But it's those people that kind of stay on the fringe or aren't in hunting at all, that just like the outdoors, that are really kind of hurt by it more so than me personally. Right.
Right.
And so that was the first thing I thought about, was that, you know, that opportunity there and opportunities like that, you know, are the things that you risk losing. And I think when people outside of the hunting space, you know, start to think of it that way, then I think it becomes really important. Right. Because if you tell someone like, hey, there's this great opportunity you had 10 years ago. Yeah, that would be gone now. How do you feel about that? You know?
Yeah.
And so I think that type of stuff matters, is trying to have a perspective of not just what are you losing, but what are others losing that maybe aren't as connected as you are, you know, and, you know, just forces them to, you know, lose an experience that they've, you know, that they otherwise would have if the public lands stay around.
Right. Yeah. Makes a ton of sense, man. Are you going anywhere for non-resident hunt this year?
Yeah. So, sorry, I'm sipping on my straw here. I got some nitro cold brew that I made. I'm a fancy lad this morning.
There you go.
I'm headed to Kansas for sure. I drew that. So I'll be headed back there. Gonna probably be in the same area that I was in before. I was trying to go to a different area, but again, talking about public lands, the area that I was planning to go to that I had like a good drop on. I mean, I would say between 2 years ago when I was there and this year, probably, I don't think I'm exaggerating by much when I say probably 80% of the walk-in access land that was there previously isn't there anymore, you know? And that was across like, not just the area, a new area that I was looking to go to, but also in the area that I've hunted the past several times that I've been out there. I would say the walk-in access is probably 50% of what it was the first time I went out there 5 years ago.
Wow.
You know, and so I started looking at it, truthfully, it's like I started looking at, I love hunting the plains. So I just like hunting off the ground and, you know, spotting and stalking and stuff like that. So I started looking at other states in certain sections of other states that could give me a similar landscape style to hunt. Probably not the caliber of deer, but you know, that's not really the point. knowing and anticipating that my options in Kansas specifically are probably going to continue to go downhill, and it's probably going to get to a point to where it's not worth me going any longer, because you're just going to have too many people with too few places, you know, to be, that it's going to make it, you know, not a desirable experience.
Yeah.
You know, but, you know, so I'm headed there while I can, at least. And then I contemplated a Delaware tag just because it's close to me, and that's an early season opener, and probably a little, I don't want to say hidden gem, but a little secret, you know, early season hunt that you can do for Velvet Bucks.
Right.
Right. And so it's not far from me. So I thought about maybe grabbing that tag. That really is more of going to be a last minute. I've never scouted it. It's going to be literally what we talked about before. I'm going to just go let it rip and show up and try to figure it out over the course of a couple of days. Yep. But it's close enough. I can get down for like a weekend or two, you know, make a couple of days out of it. But that's pretty much it for this year, is just those two things.
Nice, man. Nice. Well, yeah. Good luck on those. I'm thinking about all the places that I've hunted over the course of my life out west, for elk, for antelope, for mule deer. I'm just like, none of that's possible without public lands, dude. It's not. It's crazy.
Yeah. Well, even like the Idaho trips I've made in the past, you know, I didn't go this year. And truthfully, it's like my good buddy lives out there, and it's like, I'd go out and, you know, hunted with him a couple of different times. And that's pretty much gone now at this point, based on how they changed their system to like a true lottery. Like, the chances of me drawing a tag out there now are pretty slim. You know, so it's not very likely I'll get back to Idaho, you know, to hunt. And that was all, you know, public land that I was hunting out there too, you know. And so So my best experiences, man, have been on public land.
For sure.
You know,
a lot of us have been.
Yeah.
Well, I tell you what, Clint, man, I really appreciate you taking time out of your day to hop on and BS with me for a little bit. Make sure you guys go check out the Truth from the Stand podcast that he hosts. What day do you launch that on usually?
That is every Wednesday. An episode comes out. And then, just a heads up, as I think it starts on July 10th, I have a mini series that's coming out. It's all recorded and in the bank. It's all about, you know, trail camera strategy, essentially. It's a 5-series episode, basically, on how I, over the course of time working with people, you know, how I use trail cameras. It's basically Trail Camera University, and it's a 5-series episode of like everything from like the basics of it to like building, you know, long-term data and strategy off of long-term data years over year. So that's coming out, I think, starts July 10th.
Yeah, those things help a lot, dude. Okay, yeah. If you know how to use that data, you can kill some really good shit.
Yeah.
Right. So cool, man. All right. Well, hey, have a good one. Good luck this upcoming season. And we'll talk to you when we talk to you, man.
Appreciate you, buddy.
You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network. And this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.